I'm Steve Dawson, and this is This Comedian's Life, a podcast where we talk to a variety of funny people about their lives in comedy. This week, I talked to actor and comedian Adam Ferrara. As an actor, Adam was a regular on hit TV shows like Rescue Me and Nurse Jackie. He also hosted the car show Top Gear on the History Channel. In addition to hosting and acting, Adam tours the world performing stand-up comedy. Adam describes some of the more difficult things about being a touring comic.
That gets old pretty quickly, I would imagine, that touring thing.
I've been on the road for 25 years.
Yeah.
It got old about 45 minutes in.
What is the toughest thing about being a touring comic?
Well, it's the isolation is bad. I mean, there's a time on stage is the best time of the day. It's getting to the stage, the traveling, it's the being away from my wife, it's the, you know, it's the it's everything else. It's like the traveling is the worst.
Yeah. And
but when you're on stage, that's the best time of the day for you.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it this way. I enjoy my time on stage a lot more now because I look at it like I've worked so hard to get here and to get and to have these people's attention. So I put there's great pride in giving people a good show and then going to see them. And there's a new kind of interaction that happens after a show now. Like, I always go out after a show to take pictures, and that's part of the experience when you come to see me. Take a picture, you know, talk about cars, talk about Nurse Jackie, Rescue Me, you know, whoever you want to do. A fireman bring me stuff to sign. So I really enjoy that because I've worked so hard to get the people into the tent that, you know, it's a nice experience for all of us.
Does it get easier when people actually come to the show to see you as opposed to trying to maybe prove yourself when you were younger, when people didn't know as much who you were?
Yeah, it's nice to have those people that come back and see you again, and you want to give them a good show the next time. But the audience that come sees me are varied because I get a lot of firemen stuff from Rescue Me. I still get Rescue Me people.
Oh, cool.
I get nurses and stuff from Nurse Jackie. I get a lot of those people. I get the
emergency workers.
Well, I get a lot of nurses, and I get a lot of people that watch that show that come out to see me, and then the Top Gear people. And then I like when people come to say, "Listen, we watch you on TV. I didn't know you were stand up." I go, "Well, what do you think was going to happen here tonight?
You just come and tell stories about the show."
Yeah, well, was I going to act shit out? You know. And then, you know, I get the people that know me as a comic, so it's nice when those people, and you hear them too. You hear them sometimes, like after the show, I'll be taking pictures. Go, "He was in Paul Blart Mall Cop. You're wrong, Edna. He was the fireman." You know. So,
before he started hosting Top Gear here in the States, Adam was a longtime viewer of the original version of the show that aired on the BBC. When he was asked to audition for the American version of the show, Adam didn't quite know what to expect.
It was produced by BBC, so it was the same people that did the show, so
yeah.
They weren't going to let anything happen to it. So I felt comfortable actually. Why don't you just meet the executive producer? So I went out, and I met, it was the oddest audition ever, because you didn't go to a studio, you didn't go to a producer.
Yeah, how does that work?
The phone rang, you go to this church parking lot, look for an Evo, and no cops. Like, it was a fucking ransom drop. So I went to the, that's my girl. Sorry.
What are you doing right now, Adam? You getting gas?
I just filled up my big girl.
It's appropriate. We're talking about cars. I love it.
Yeah, I got a 1970 Deuce and a Quarter that I.
Adam, what does that mean? What does Deuce and a Quarter mean?
Oh, a 1970 Buick Electra 225. 18 feet 5 inches of Detroit steel, baby.
Wow. You could ram that thing into a steel pole and nothing would happen to it.
Yeah, but the pole would be fucked.
So you went to a church parking lot, and
really?
did you do some driving? Like, what did they have you do
for
the audition?
There was an Evo there, and there was a bunch of English guys and a cameraman, and Rutt and Tanner were there. So I met everybody, and, you know, they had the cameras up, and they had cameras in the car, and they put us all in the car, and Tanner whipped us around. We did some donuts, and then, you know, we just horsing around, you know, just hooning the car around. And then we found, you know, I remember we found an old, there was a couch, an abandoned couch. And I remember telling Rutt, I go, "Hey, you with the beard, sit on the couch, see how close we can get to you before you chicken out." And then John Hessling, our executive producer, "Cut, that's enough, thank you, boys. Okay, thank you." So, and then I left. you know, we're doing donuts in a parking lot and making each other laugh, and I left. And I didn't think anything about it. I went back, and, you know, my agent called. How'd it go? It was good. Good. I got to go. And they called me back a week later. You want to go back and meet him again? Yeah, okay. I went back, and they put up another camera, another car, and we just messed around. And then I left, and then that was it. He goes, you want to go back again? I go, let him make a friggin' decision.
Yeah.
And then I went back again, and then it was a long time. It was months. And then finally, I'll say almost 6 months, 4 to 6 months later, I got a call, and they offered me the gig.
Wow. You've had some very cool casual audition experiences.
Yeah, that was one that was really good. Dennis was good. The Nurse Jackie one was good too. I was on the road. I was doing stand up. And shooting Top Gear at the same time. So I was beat.
Yeah.
And I forget. I might have been in Iceland. I don't remember, but I remember calling my wife, and I said, "Listen, honey, I'm coming home. I land Friday afternoon. All right. Well, as soon as I get home." We locked the door, and it's a pants-free weekend. Me, you, the dogs, no pants. Whatever happens, happens.
Did you make up that term, Adam?
Yes.
Nice. Pants-free I weekend. Love it. I'm not yeah. wearing pants right now, so it's totally perfect.
See that? And it's not even the weekend. You're starting early.
It's starting early, baby.
Yeah. So so pants-free weekend happens. She's upstairs. The phone rings. It's my manager. I pick up the phone, and I go, no. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I said, whatever it is, no. I want you to fly to New York. No. I want you to read with Edie Falco.
Oh, crap.
I go upstairs, and my wife goes, what? I said, honey, they want me to fly to New York and read with Edie Falco. And she said, put your pants on.
It's a good start.
Yeah, so I put my pants on. I went, it was a Friday. And my wife drove me to the airport. She gave me a kiss, and she did the coolest thing. She looked me right in the eyes. She goes, now go get this f***ing job. And my wife never curses. my wife is like, that's like Snow White going, you little f***ing dwarf. You know, that's what that's like.
That's so great.
That was great. And I went, and I read with her on a Monday, and we were shooting on a Wednesday.
Wow.
And I did 2 years there.
Does your wife think you're funny? Does she enjoy your comedy?
Yeah, she's very much involved in actually, you know, shaping and doing and writing it. She's even written some stuff for me. It's real funny. She's
oh cool.
It's a mom and pop business. Yeah, my wife is it's a mom and pop business, and I wouldn't have it any other way. It makes the creation process a lot more enjoyable. Usually it's just you staring at an empty page. You know, that's why Hemingway drank. Not that my Hemingway, but you know, just to come up with stuff. You know, it's like I really enjoy doing it with her. You know, it's like I said, it's pretty much it's a mom and pop business.
Adam's father is very important in his life. His dad gave him life advice, and in return, Adam would do his best to make his dad laugh.
Best advice I ever got is life ain't fair and don't be late. So
there you go.
You can bitch about it, ain't fair. So put that into your head. My father gave me the best advice I ever heard in my life when I told him I wanted to be a comic. Because my dad's very mechanical,
mm-hmm.
and my hero. He's like, you know, he's still my hero, my dad. So
yeah, mine too. Nice.
Yeah, I always wanted to be like him, but I don't have the gift. I don't have the if-then-so.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, I was trying to work on the car. And you know, there's oil leaking, there's blood coming out of me, there's wrenches flying, you know, random pieces of skin are being ripped off. And my father comes over and puts his hand on my shoulder as I'm looking under the hood. He goes, son, you're gonna have to get a job. You're gonna have to work at something the rest of your life. This ain't it.
Wow.
Okay. So what do you want? I said, oh, Papa, really, I want to be a comic. He goes, he takes a long drag off of his lucky. He was smoking Luckies with no filters. And he looked at me and he said, do it now. Do it now before your life gets complicated. But if you're going to do it, give it everything you got. Because the last thing you want to feel is looking in the mirror, seeing some old guy looking back at you and think, if I only tried that much harder.
That's like something out of a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah. Well, that was my dad.
Wow.
Yeah. So I always like, every time you get tired and you're like, I can't do this, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to feel that. I'm gonna push through this.
Yeah.
I'll persevere.
That's just beautiful. I love that. And that said, though, was your dad, it doesn't sound like your dad was an unhappy guy necessarily.
No, my dad was, he was a really good man. He had the ability to boil everything off into two sentences and just make everything make sense. And he had a big laugh, and that's one of the laughs I love getting when I was a kid, because he was out there fighting, you know, to feed the family, you know, just take care of everything, pay the bills. And he would come home all stressed out. So when I made him laugh, that went away.
Yeah.
It all went away, and he got this, and he was a big man, my dad, and his laugh just filled the room. He was just a big, and when he laughed, it was contagious. It filled the room, and everyone wanted to be around him, because there was a healing property to having him laugh. So when I realized I could make him laugh, I'm like, oh, this is how I can contribute. This is how I can help.
Yeah, I can't make money right now, but I can do this.
Take it away. So that was the best laugh I could get when I was a kid, was my father's laugh. Then after that, I was Thanksgiving somewhere. We were volunteering somewhere, and there was all these kids, and they didn't speak English. And there was all these kids around, and we were on the food line. I was handing out food, and I'm like, how can I connect with this kid? And I made these kids laugh, and we didn't even speak the language. And I went, oh, that's so cool. I made them smile. And now it's when I make my wife laugh. When I make my wife laugh, that's a satisfying laugh for me, because she's tough. That's a tough critic.
She makes you work for it.
Yeah, oh yeah, because she knows all the tricks. Yeah, you know, she knows when the rabbit's put in the hat, and you know, she knows all that tricks. So when I can make her genuine laugh, that's another good laugh.
Thanks to Adam Ferrara for joining me this week. He will be at the Kansas City Improv July 14th through the 17th. For more information about Adam, you can visit his website at adamferrara.com. I'm Steve Dawson for This Comedian's Life.